Hi, is this Dave?
This is Dave. Is this Kathy Mattea?
It is.
How?
Hi.
Oh, my gosh. This is so exciting. I've talked to you a couple of times before. I don't expect you to remember it, considering all the people you have talked to. But we have chatted in the past, and this is just a delight for me. So how are you doing?
Well, thank you.
Oh, just...
I'm doing great.
I'm going to tell you... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to tell you a little story about the first time I met you. We used to introduce the Axe down at the Executive in Rivermont here in town, which is no longer here. It was demolished in 2008. And the first time I ever got to do that was your show in 1989. That was a green kid, and the road or stage manager told me what to say when I got up on stage, and I went up too early. And when I got off stage, he let me have it, and I was just red faced. But as you walked up on stage, you tapped me on the shoulder and you said, "You did fine. Don't worry about it." And I will never forget that. And I've just, and not because of
oh
just,
my gosh.
I've not just because of that, but I've been a big fan ever since. And so,
well, thank you. My first thought is, I want to go back and yell at that guy who yelled at you.
Oh, and that was just the first of many encounters with road / stage managers, and I got really used to it. Hardened my skin.
Oh, man. I love having history like that. You know, I do bump into people that I've, you know, had those momentary kind of encounters with, and it's just the sweetest thing. It's, you know, it's a privilege to have history.
Yes.
To be around long enough to have history.
Absolutely. And I tell you what, you've got 40 years. You've given us 40 years of some of the most amazing music I have ever heard. And I don't know how folks like you decide what to choose when you've got like a 2-hour set, like what you're going to have this Sunday at the Bluegrass Museum.
Well, you know, I try to change it up for people who have heard us a lot.
Yes.
And I try to keep it. I feel like it's my responsibility to keep it alive, you know, to like not go to sleep in songs that I've sung a long time. But I am a very lucky person because my mentor and longtime producer was a man named Alan Reynolds, who's now best known for producing Garth Brooks.
Oh, yeah, Alan, sure, yeah.
And he had also done Crystal Gayle and Don Williams and all kinds of great artists. And he just used to look at me when I was in my 20s. He would look at me and just say, "Just remember, Kathy, it's the song. Mm-hmm. It's the song. If you find a great song and you sing it honestly and you frame it well, it will not exist in time. It will be timeless."
Oh, that's great.
And I got I saw him not too long ago, and I got to say to him, you know, I am reaping the rewards of that advice now, because these songs don't get old.
No.
You know, they are timeless. And so I don't ever feel like it's a chore. It's really, they're like dear friends, you know, that mm-hmm. have stood the test of time.
And music is how we keep people forever. Music, movies, books, that's how we keep people forever. So that's great. That's
exactly.
Awesome.
Yeah. Exactly. And just recently I was like, you know, there's some songs I've been singing a lot. I need to rotate out. And so we've sort of revisited some of the stuff from my album, Coal.
Mm-hmm.
And we're putting some of that back in.
It's a great song. That's a great album. That album's a fun. That's a lot of fun, too. It's a great album.
Oh, yeah.
I love Coal.
It was great. I mean, I made that record with Marty Stewart, and that's like you just don't forget, you know.
It's royalty right there, Marty Stewart.
Yeah, exactly.
I learned something about you, and I got to ask more about this. Not too long ago, you sought advice from a vocal coach, and Tony Bennett, the late amazing Tony Bennett, is that right? Did I read that right, or did ChatGPT mess me up there?
Well, it's,
I'm just kidding.
You know, ChatGPT, but there is some truth. As we are learning about AI, there's some stuff that's true.
Yeah.
Some stuff that's close. But no, what happened was I had had a voice teacher for many years.
Okay.
I found her when I was young, and
all right.
She was like a second mom to me. And so I had studied with her, but she kind of got older, and I knew how to sing, and I knew how my voice worked. And then at a certain point, it stopped being something I recognized. Like I was noticing something very familiar, and it wouldn't come out the same way. And so I had had this moment years before where I wound up in a situation with Tony Bennett in a gathering.
Okay.
And I was very shy in this situation. I made for the corner. I made for the emergency exit door to stand in front of it. And when I got there, Tony Bennett was standing there.
Holy cow.
And I thought, oh my gosh, you have Tony Bennett all to yourself. I said, I'm always nervous at these things. He said, me too. And I was like, oh, stop it. You're Tony Bennett. And I said, and then I realized I had him all to myself.
Wow.
And so I said, can I ask you a question? He said, sure. I said, I heard you sing tonight, and I know how old you are. How did you do that?
Yeah, right.
And I think at the time he was 78.
Goodness.
And then I heard him again when he was 90.
Yeah, 90.
There was not much difference. It was amazing. And I asked him, and he just kind of looked at the floor, and he smiled, and he said, well, my voice isn't what it once was, but it's a lot better than it was a few years ago. He said, I found a voice teacher, and I started working again.
That's great.
And when my voice started to get wonky, mm-hmm. I remembered that conversation, and I thought, well, okay, if Tony Bennett can do that, I can do it. Mm-hmm. And I'll quit singing if I need to quit singing, but I'm not gonna throw it away without fighting for it.
No.
And so I had to relearn how to sing. And some of it, I kind of learned from some people told me that sometimes when a woman hits menopause, your vocal cords move slightly further apart.
That's interesting.
And I think that's what happened for me.
Okay. I've never heard that before. That's interesting. All right. I'm glad I'm glad they've come back together. I'm glad they've reunited your vocal cords.
Thank you very much. Me too.
Yes, that's not a split we need. Listen, I'm going to wrap this up, but before I do, I want to just welcome you back to Owensboro. This is so exciting, and remind
Thank
folks,
you. I'm very excited to be back. I had such good times there.
And the Bluegrass Museum, if you've never visited, it's phenomenal. It's amazing.
That's great.
You can still get tickets at bluegrasshall.org or on your website, Matea.com. So this Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock, it's Kathy Matea at the Bluegrass Hall of Fame Museum.
And I have to tell you, I was just reminiscing. I just saw John Cowan last night.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
We went to see the Doobie Brothers, and I was visiting with him after the show.
That's cool.
And remembering my first time seeing Newgrass Revival at a little club.
Yes.
Up in Bowling Green, up that way. And just like when I was maybe 23, 24, uh-huh. something like that, it was we were kind of going back through the, like, remember when, all that stuff. So
I've seen them
here. I
have
fond memories of that area and all the great musicians that have come out of there.
I've seen them here. And that's the first time I ever heard Colin Baton Rouge, like everybody else, you know? Speaking of Garth Brooks. All right. Well, listen, I unfortunately can't talk to you for the rest of the day. So I'm going to get back to work, and I'm going to let you get back to whatever you need to do. And we look forward to seeing you on Sunday.
Thank you. Me too. Thanks for your time.
Kathy Matea, everybody. Have a great day. Thank you.
Bye, Dave.
Bye-bye.